The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Well, good evening. This is Dr. Bill Blatchford, and welcome to this month's call. This is a call that we do on a monthly basis to talk about the success stories of some of our clients in our program. You're looking at a picture of Mount Hood here, and of course, if you've been watching the news, Mount Hood had quite a storm this last weekend, and we had a lot of rain, and some of that snow melted, but it's here we are. So tonight's program, we have Dr. Michael Fulbright from Redondo Beach, California. Now, Michael is going to talk to us, and I'm going to interview Michael about how he lowered his overhead dramatically, how he got better results in his practice during the middle of what is probably the worst recession since the Great Depression of the 30s. And yet he's in Redondo Beach, California. It's an area that's been very hard hit by the recession, and yet he's done extremely well this year. Now, on tonight's call, we have a large turnout. It seems like the last two calls we've done on overhead and net income have attracted a large crowd. So due to this large number, if you have questions tonight, you will notice a chat box on your screen, and you can type your questions into the chat box. I will take some of the questions tonight. Michael will take some of the questions. And the rest of the questions that we don't take, I will make sure that someone on my team either emails you an answer, explanation, or gives you a call. Now, in order for us to do that, you need to put your name on the question when you enter it in the chat box, and I will only use initials as we go through this. So, you know, if you're best friend is listening, he won't know. So, or if your staff is listening on this, they won't know that you are the ones. So I'll just use your initials. So, but be sure and put your name down, your name and the city, because there are probably enough people on this call, just your initials may not do it. So this is Dr. Michael Fulbright. Michael, why don't you give us a little thumbnail sketch of your background in dentistry and how you ended up in Redondo Beach and how you ended up giving me a call about a year ago.
I'd love to. Well, Bill, I basically went to school here at USC in California, graduated about 2000, and upon graduation I got kind of lucky and got landed right into Beverly Hills working with a pretty famous dentist cosmetically named Brian LeSage. So I had some great training. I got to work with him, you know, side by side for about 5 years. You know, he had some really good systems in place, which, you know, being a new dentist out of school really helped me kind of, you know, I didn't know any better. So learning his systems were helpful. And when I finally decided that I wanted to break away and kind of practice where I lived in Redondo and Hermosa Beach, you know, I bought a practice, was working for them for a little while first, took over the practice, and kind of implemented some of the old systems from my Beverly Hills practice. And you know, and I grew the practice pretty steadily over the for the first 5 years. But I kind of reached a plateau, and I was thinking about hiring, you know, some sort of coach or consultant. And, you know, I was going through the motions and interviewing different people or listening to different people to try to feel what the best fit was. And I wanted to see who can bring me to that next level. You know, I think we were doing pretty good, but it was going to be hard, I thought, for somebody to take me up to where I really wanted to be. I listened to Bill, or I listened to you, Bill, a few times at a couple lectures at the AACD meeting, and that's when I decided that I thought you and I were a good fit, and I think we went from there.
Very good. So you were at a plateau. You were doing, for those of you listening, Michael and I talked about this. We actually were looking at his numbers, talking about his results when we wrote the flyer to send out, so we have some slides made up of his numbers. But, I mean, you were plateaued. I mean, you were plateaued. You were doing about $1.1 million, if I remember right, almost $1.2 million at the time. So it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a tiny practice. It was a good-sized practice, and you were doing well. Let's talk about some of the benefits you got out of this program. And I'd like you to start with your schedule first. We'll come to the money in a moment, and we'll come to the money and the overhead. We'll be talking about the net. But I think your schedule is an important part of this as well.
Well, yeah. I think when I first met with you, you know, the biggest thing, well, I think the biggest thing you bring to everything, Bill, is, one, you design our practices around what our lifestyle wants to be. And I think that's what really attracted me the most. So, you know, I was working 5 days a week, as most people probably are, and had a new, you know, I had a baby girl just, you know, around that time, and she was two now. But, you know, I wanted to work a little less and make a little more. My overhead was quite high. I had a lot of, you know, a lot of loans outstanding still, and so schedule for me was a huge benefit. You know, we cut our days down from, well, five when I first was with you, it was probably at four, and now we're working only 3.5 days a week. And we're kind of all talking right now, even pushing that to 3 days here very soon. So.
You know, a question I very often get is, so you've cut down from 4 to 3.5, but how long are the days?
Regular 8-hour days. I'm not working longer days to make up for that half a day.
Excellent.
At all.
Yeah. Well, that's what we teach. And yeah, I think you answered one of the questions already, is that you were talking about, you interviewed several consultants, of course, a doctor here in Kansas City, asked, why did you choose Blatchford out of the ones you were talking to? And I think you answered it, is that you were looking for someone that would look at your lifestyle first and then design a practice to fit. Now, you also mentioned to me that you're about 6 weeks off as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's been the most fantastic part, I think, and my staff as well. So, you know, we have the typical 2 weeks of vacation, you know, and staff members all accrued a couple of weeks, and everybody took their time off whenever they wanted to, different times of the year, which really created a kind of a hardship when somebody left. You know, our numbers went down if it was a hygienist, and, you know, it didn't make the office flow well when a team member wasn't here. So now we've gone to 6 weeks off with pay. The whole team gets paid for 6 weeks off. We all take the same time off together, so we kind of have to plan a little bit ahead of time each year, you know, and I let them choose some vacation time that they want to take off, and the whole office is off. You know, we usually take a week or 2 weeks at a time, and, you know, staff is happy. We all get really refreshed coming back. We work hard for 6-8 weeks, take a week off, relax, come back to work charged up, and do it again.
Sounds like a pretty good schedule.
Yeah, that's great.
Before I go on to this next one, I mean, here's a question already. I mean, we've got a question here. What did you put in place? I mean, what did you have to do to reduce the number of days that you're working? I mean, we've mentioned you're doing more production now. We haven't looked at your numbers yet, but I did mention that you're doing more in less time. What's the number one thing you did to make that happen?
Well, you're right. So, yeah, we are doing more production the last time, which is, I think, the American dream. And it's all really about block scheduling. You know, mm-hmm. It's all about getting your team on board and really kind of scheduling properly. And we thought we had a handle on that before, but we kind of did. But we knew the idea, but we weren't implementing it enough. But, you know, now we look at what we want to make every year, divide that by the number of days we work, and then that's our daily goal. And then through your formulas for our, you know, bonus system, we kind of schedule to match that daily goal. And usually we like to hit that goal by 12 o'clock. I know you say 85% mm-hmm. of that goal is usually what they want to hit, but we try to hit 100%.
You try to hit the whole thing. So the afternoon is just kind of relax and go with the flow.
New patients, things
sounds
like that.
Sounds good. Maybe we'll change what we're teaching. Maybe we'll change people. We'll start teaching it that way. Now, you mentioned to me in getting ready for this is you have almost two times case acceptance of large cases this year.
Yeah, and that was a little hard for me to really calculate, but I think that's pretty accurate. You know, last year wasn't a really great year, I think, for a lot of people, and it wasn't a good year for me the year before that. But this past year, since joining you, we had a lot of really large cases and, you know, big $30,000, $40,000 cases. And that just doesn't happen, you know, unless you present cases properly and really get to the, you know, to figure out what the patient really wants. And I think through, you know, the things that you've taught us and some of the books that we've all had to read, that our sales skills are so much better and our case presentation has really just patients have really told us what they want without us really kind of trying to sell them something.
If you could put a skill in one word that you've changed on case acceptance, what would it be?
That's probably an easy one. I think it's not talking as much and really listening. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to what they want, asking the right questions, but really listening to what they want.
Yes. So I think that's an important skill, and your staff had to get that as well. All right, so now we're down to some real brass tacks here. So this was your production collection average in 2009, so just almost 1.2 million. So that's, you know, a lot of doctors would look at that, and I certainly would look at that and say, gee, that's not a bad plateau to be on. But at this point, you had hit what we call our ceiling of complexity. You and your team were doing everything that you knew how to do to make this grow. And doctors, I want you to hang on to your seats. I'm going to now show you what he did in the last year. This is the first 12 months of our coaching program. And in the economy of Southern California, he jumped that production collection to 1.4. Michael, it's pretty phenomenal. I'm really proud of your results here. That's why I happened in this call tonight. So a couple of things. You've mentioned case presentation. You've mentioned asking the questions. You've mentioned better scheduling. But I'd like to get into what this call tonight is really about, overhead and increasing your net income. And you were able to reduce your overhead from about 85% to 65%. And I know you had told me that you had been able to, as a result of that, have been able to pay off several of the loans that you had on the practice. I want to shock the doctors here just a little bit and show them what you increased your net last year. These are real numbers. Has your accountant commented on these yet? I mean, I haven't heard about it.
My accountant has commented emphatically about it, saying that we really needed to plan a little differently this past year because he noticed it instantly in the first quarter. So he took good measures to plan accordingly for tax purposes because she noticed I was profiting quite a bit more.
Excellent. Not a bad problem to have, and I've seen a few times where accountants have failed to do that with doctors, and they get to the end of the year, and they have a lot more in tax. Well, it's still a good problem.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question. You know, a question I hear quite often from doctors looking at this program is they want to talk to their accountant about doing the program. Had your accountant known that you wanted to increase your net income for the last several years?
Probably not. I think not directly. I mean, mm-hmm. We have an annual meeting, and yes, she knew I was making more yearly, but I don't know if I actually told her that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take a look at what you did on overhead. What did you do? I mean, you obviously raised your gross by about $200,000, but you raised your net over $200,000. So you gave me a statistic when we were getting ready for this call. Your staff overhead, I believe, when you started the program, is up around 24%. And I'm not sure that included payroll cost at that time. And you had about 10 people there. And now your payroll cost is, where did it come out in 2010?
I think we were running at about 18 to 20%
mm-hmm.
payroll overhead.
And your staff is bonusing now.
My staff was actually probably bonusing from first month. And
about what size are those bonuses that they're getting?
Yeah, the bonuses, I think, averaged, they had a couple really big ones, but I think overall we averaged between $400 to $500 a month per staff.
Very good. So each one of them then probably made an extra $6,000 this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very happy with that. They want more.
Sure, and I hope they get more. That's exactly what we want to have happen for this next year, is we want them to raise their income. Now, I have a question here, and actually it's the same question that a doctor from Kansas City wrote in. Is, you just mentioned that you've gone from, and some of it was through attrition, from 10 team members down to, I'll say 10 staff members down to 5 team members, and there's a huge difference there. We consider a staff's an infection, and you definitely have a team at this point. How did you've mentioned block booking. Could you be a little more specific on some other things that you've done that have allowed this team of 5 to do more than what 10 people were doing?
Well, Bill, I think the biggest thing that we did, since we did have a smaller staff, you know, we didn't have as many people to do some of the things that we thought we needed them to do, was everyone needed to be cross-trained, and that was probably the biggest mm-hmm. thing. And, you know, we continue to cross-train our 5 that we have, but everybody in our office is trained to answer the phone properly, you know, back office, front office. Everybody in the office takes money. We do all our collections right in the dental chair. We have credit card swipers right at the computer next to the chair. So hygienists are taking money. My dental assistants are taking money. My front office very rarely takes money anymore.
That's interesting. I mean, that's a paradigm shift, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a little odd at first for my patients because they're used, you know, most patients are used to going up to the front desk and, you know, but now when we ask them right in the chair, they kind of look at you a little bit funny, but now that we've been doing it for a year, they're just kind of, they accept it and they kind of like it because then they can just leave.
What has been, I mean, the acceptance rate, obviously it's good because your production is up, your new patient flow is up, and so acceptance must be fairly good. What are some of the comments you get from your patients?
I think it's all, you know, well, we actually ask for,
referrals.
Well, yeah, we ask for referrals, but we also ask for them to give us an online review.
Oh, like a testimonial.
This year we've probably had more reviews than we ever had, ever. You know, I don't know if it's because we're asking for them more, but occasionally I see some on there that I didn't ask for, and these people are all talking about our, you know, how things are different in our office.
Mm-hmm. Are they just posted on your website?
Posted on the website, posted on Google, posted on Yelp, which all are good for, you know, SEO website purposes anyway. So.
Mm-hmm. So anybody on the call tonight could look you up on Yelp or Google, and they would get some of these reviews from your patients. That'd be a good way for them to find out what the patients think of the program.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us a bit more about the cross training. I mean, how much cross training do they need to learn? I mean, if I'm a receptionist, office manager, what do I have to learn?
Well, I think for us it was a little easier. My office manager is an RDA, so she already knows that she can jump in the back and jump in whenever she needs to.
Okay.
So that was great. It was probably harder for me to get my assistants and all that to start answering the phone better, or answering the phone at all. You know, they were a little shy of that. But it turns out I have one male assistant who was very timid on the phone, would never answer the phone.
I remember him.
He has turned out to probably be my best phone answer, even more so than my office manager.
No, it's wonderful. Well, it's a skill that someone can learn. It's just behavior, and so anybody can do it. And that's one of the things, doctors, that we teach in our seminars. That we have two-day seminars for staff during the year-long coaching program. And one of my premises is that, you know, life is all about behavior, and you can choose to behave any way you want. So anyone can do this. It's just a matter of you giving the right tools to work with. And that's what we're doing. So two things that you've done. We've talked about several things here tonight, but two things you've done to increase efficiency and profit. And by the way, increasing efficiency does increase profit because we're able to do it with a smaller team, more efficiently, less time. The two things. Just boil it down to two.
Two things that have made things more efficient. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Well, I really think the cross training. I didn't get too much into, you know, in our monthly meetings. We do a lot of role playing. In the beginning, they didn't like that very much, but now we're even using the video camera now and watching our role playings together. We go over answering the phone with a new patient. You know, what's that kind of script that we have? One person will play the new patient, one person will play, you know, the staff member or the team member. We go over a lot of financial arrangement scenarios with patients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We give all of our new patients a 5% discount just for paying in advance. So they got to know that script, and we go through that quite a bit. And that's been also another thing I don't know if we'll get into here, but that's been a great cash flow incentive for us is, you know, we're getting people paying ahead of time just to book, and we give them a little 5% courtesy for that. And I can tell you those patients never miss those appointments when they pay ahead of time.
I was just going to say, I'll bet that's really cut down your no-shows and cancellations, hasn't it?
No, it's wonderful. You know,
and here's something I think is very important, is when you're only seeing patients, when you only have 3 days a week available to see patients, you really can't afford to have a two-hour cancellation, can you?
No, not at all.
No, that's excellent. Excellent. All right, so let's talk a little bit here tonight. This is kind of my commercial. I'm going to ask you, there is a question here. Why couldn't you do this yourself? And I won't even give the doctor's initials and the city, but he says, why couldn't you do this yourself? Or could you have, I guess his wording was, could you have done this yourself? What is the value of coaching? I mean, what does coaching do for this whole process?
Well, and that, I think that was my question to myself before I hired, before I hired you and your team was, could I do this myself? Could I save myself this money? And, and yes, I think anybody could do it, but if we could, we'd all be doing it. And, I think everybody needs a coach. I mean, Tiger Woods has a coach. Everybody has a coach that's great. And I think somebody, or everybody needs somebody to guide them and push them along. And, I think that's been the biggest thing for me. I knew what I needed to do, and I just didn't do it. And, that's what you and your team have helped me do. It's just really kind of keep me on the right track, really.
So getting you to do what you knew and then plus a few things you didn't know, but
absolutely,
keeping you on target, I think that was the biggest thing that we do, is keeping you moving forward. And then also, showing you the tunnels that don't have any cheese at the end. I mean, there's no reason to go down some of these tunnels, and there's no reason to experiment. I think everyone says that it's great to learn by your mistakes, but a very wise man one time said that it's less expensive to learn from someone else's mistakes.
I agree.
I think that so many doctors spend a large part of their career making mistakes so they can learn from them. And I've made my share, and I like to share those with the people that we work with. So let's get right down to what this program costs. We have three different levels of program, of course. We have our Platinum program, which Dr. Fulbright took part in, and that's for doctors that are doing, at least almost $1 million a year and above. And that program is $47,500. It's $47,500. And we have a Gold level program for doctors at a little lower production level, and it's $37,500. And then we have a brand new doctor program for new doctors right out of school, or at least new in practice. And so some of these doctors have been associates for a few years, but we're helping them choose situations to get into and help them set up all their systems and that sort of thing. And it's $25,000. But let's take a look at the Platinum program, because that's probably what most of you are looking at. And if you finance that with us, it's approximately the same as a $17 an hour dental assistant. Now, if you take a look at Michael's return on the investment on this program, this is a question we get all the time, and like Michael said, he was concerned and thought, well, maybe he can do this himself and save the $47,000. And everybody's wondering, what is the return on investment? And this is a very large number that Michael returned, and that is over 400% return in the first year. Now, for those of you looking at investments and looking at things to spend money on, if you can find something that produces this kind of return, let me know. We'll put you on television, and you can make everybody millionaires. But the nice part about this is this will just keep on giving. I mean, once these systems are in place and Michael's leadership is in place, this will keep right on going. I also hear doctors say they like to ask their spouse, their accountant, or their team. And, of course, the question I always ask is, how long did your staff know that you wanted to raise your income and cut down the amount of time that you work? I mean, they're already doing everything they know how to do to make this happen. Michael, we're on this question. Was your team concerned when we started this program, or when you were discussing it? And how did you handle it?
Absolutely. I think that's what led to some of my attrition. As soon as I started talking to the team about that I was going to bring somebody on, and that it was going to take some work on their part. It's not just magic. And I think the ones that, didn't belong here in the first place kind of went their merry way, which made things easier for us.
Mm-hmm.
I had been talking to my wife, who's pretty bright, I think, and she got it right off right from the beginning. And so it was a no-brainer talking to her, and, she understands ROI and understands what we were going to get out of it. So
well, she runs she really kind of manages the spa, doesn't she?
Yeah, so since, well, you kind of talked us into, we were concerned about her working at her career that she had working for a skincare company, and, you know, we were at her mercy of her vacation schedule, and even though I had 6 weeks off now, she didn't, so, you know, and having our new daughter and everything was, you know, we wanted to spend more time with her, so we, you know, we talked about her leaving, and you said, why don't you do it now? You know, what's stopping you? And so sure enough, very shortly after, she quit her job, and she came to work in our med spa with us, and she works 3 days a week and has turned that place around in a very short time.
And has replicated the income that she was earning in her outside job.
I think, if not, you know, we're getting close, but I think the potential to make a whole
I've not seen those figures. I was taking a guess at it. So.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely, you know, in the economy that we're in and for the business that it is, med spa businesses are tough right now. But
it's not exactly a hot business to go into right now.
But we're actually making money. So.
I know. I mean, you were in the red when we started, and that, we didn't even work on that practice. That was just by osmosis, basically, that we improved the level of that business.
We implemented a lot of the same systems downstairs into the med spa, and it's worked.
Well, we have quite a few questions here, and I think what we'll do is send the doctors answers to these questions or call them and give them their answers. But I think the really thing is the thing we want to look at here is, you know, the question I have is, you know, either a doctor or anybody in business with this economy, either you'd be proactive and do something about it, that is, change what you're doing. And I was talking to a doctor in Chicago today who grew his practice a similar amount, about $150,000, and in the same range of production, and it's netting about $500,000, again, working 3 days a week. And he said, he made the comment that he's doing so many things differently today than he was doing 2 years ago. And he said, in his travels, he runs into dentists who are still doing things the way they were doing it 2, 3, 4 years ago, and of course their results are down, and the economy, the environment, everything has changed, and we can be proactive or we can procrastinate. So I think the question really is, you know, for everybody in the call, you know, what's next for you? Michael, what's next for you? I mean, what are you going to do this year? I mean, you raised it to 1.4 last year. Do you have any goals you could share with us for this year?
We definitely have some loftier goals. I mean, my team would like to be making $1,500 a month each in bonus. So, you know, that was kind of our goal last year, and, you know, we didn't quite hit that, but we're definitely sticking to that goal, and we're doing everything we can to try to meet that this year. We're going to start implementing, you know, doing implants in our practice. We do just about everything else. We implemented last year doing a lot of sleep apnea, and that's starting to pay off. So just kind of, you know, doing a little bit more services, you know, increasing our service mix, increasing our customer service, and hopefully we're going to hit that goal this year.
Well, I've enjoyed talking with you this evening, Michael, and I hope our listeners have enjoyed it as much as I have. And for those of you who are interested in our coaching program or anything that we do, you can contact us here at Blatchford Solutions at blatchford.com or info@blatchford, or there's our phone number. You can call our main office, and we can get you in touch with one of our representatives who can answer all your questions for you. And actually, one of the things that we will offer to all of you on this call, we will offer a practice profitability assessment, and you can fill that out online, and you can then go over that with one of our representatives and see what we could do for your practice as well. And if Michael is any indication of what we can do, I would get in line. Michael, any other comments?
Well, I mean, I would just like to say if anybody has any questions for me and would like to talk to me personally offline here, you know, you can always contact my office or email me. I'd be more than happy to talk to anybody, too.
Why don't you give them your email and your phone number?
Sure. My email address is michael@fulbrightdental.com, and that's FULBRIGHT dental.com. Our phone number here is 310-316-4477.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate your time tonight, and I'm very excited about your success. It's just one of those things that keeps me going. I mean, as
I thank you, Bill.
do this sort of thing just really keeps me going. So good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.